Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Donald Trump's overseas envoy, Steve Witkoff, will hold talks at the Kremlin next week as the U.S. continues to push for a deal to end the war in Ukraine. Speaking about last week's 28-point peace plan proposed by the Americans, Russian President Vladimir Putin said yesterday the draft peace plan could serve as a basis for future negotiations to end the war. But he insisted that Ukraine would have to surrender territory for any deal to be possible. Joining us now to talk about all of this is Paris-based journalist and author Lara Marlow. Lara, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, we went through the 28-point peace plan, so-called, on the programme, and it all boiled down to money. The US is the big winner in cash terms. And on the Russian side, there's, what, $200 billion in frozen Russian assets that they want to get back without penalty.
Mm-hmm. Well, the U.S. is a big winner, as you say, Pat, but Russia is also a very big winner because this plan, which Trump and J.D. Vance were advocating, would basically give them back their $200 billion in frozen assets. $100 billion of it will be put in a U.S.-Russian investment fund for the reconstruction of Ukraine, in particular the parts of Ukraine that are occupied by Russia. And the other half of it would just be given back to Russia and also invested with the U.S. So Russia and the U.S. would be the big winners. The losers would be Europe, who are expected to match the $100 billion from the frozen fund without being consulted or asked their opinion about it, and the World Bank, which was also expected to finance this scheme. And the U.S. would have got 50% of all the profits from it.
Yeah, and Europe gets nothing. It puts in $100 billion and gets zero back from this whole arrangement. I mean, this looks as if it was actually written in the Kremlin, not in Washington, D.C.
It was. That was denied by the White House originally. Marco Rubio told some U.S. senators, Republican senators, that it was a Russian proposal, and then he backtracked on that. And it was only 2 or 3 days ago when the Bloomberg website leaked transcriptions of two telephone conversations that we found out that it was, in fact, generated by Moscow. Putin's diplomatic advisor and head of his slush fund were in one phone call in which they were saying, well, let's go for the max. Let's try to, you know, use all our demands. And the other one says, well, the Americans may not take it as it is. They may not take the whole text, but we will stress that it's informal and we'll give it to them. And maybe they'll use our plan. And that's exactly what happened.
So the Russians devised this plan, which is so self-serving, it's almost ridiculous. They present it to the Americans, and the Americans accept it. Now, you've actually looked at the text, and you see clues as to the fact that this was actually written in the Kremlin and not in Washington, D.C.
Absolutely. For example, it talks about Nazi ideology in Ukraine. Now, that's an expression that has Russian fingerprints all over it. The Europeans, the Americans never referred to Nazi ideology in Ukraine. So that was obviously from the Russians. There were other indications as well. But a lot of commentators and Russian speakers said it read as if it were translated by a non-English speaker or perhaps by artificial intelligence from Russian into English.
Can you help us understand why Steve Witkoff would be accepting the Russian version of events, not just accepting it, but as someone said, actually selling it, promoting it?
Yes, well, that there is a very good question. Part of it is that he's only talking to one side. Witkoff has traveled to Moscow. Well, next his visit to Putin next week will be his sixth visit this year. He has never once gone to Ukraine. I think that like Trump, he likes winners. He thinks he's been persuaded by the Russians, which they are winning the war in Ukraine, which they are not really. He's a real estate developer, and he sees this as a big property deal. He wants to make money out of it. And like Trump, he sees that there's a lot of money to be made. Indeed, both men's families, Trump's family and Witkoff's family, have made a lot of money from their contacts with Gulf Arabs. We don't know about the Russians yet. But if you read these 28 points, it just kind of oozes money. You know, it talks about potential cooperation in minerals and high tech and so on and so forth. And I think that he's very much drawn to the money. He also seems to have been completely taken in by Putin. Like Trump, he's spoken of his deep respect for Putin, his admiration for Putin. And I think the Russians know how to play these men very, very easily. Trump has not understood, and Witkoff with him, that Putin does not accept the existence of Ukraine. He cannot accept the independence of Ukraine. He is ideological as well as venal and evil. Trump and Witkoff just don't see this. They see him as they look at him and they see money to be made.
Now, the part of this, if there was anything in it for Ukraine, it would be a security guarantee. But can't join NATO, have to downsize your military, and if you're bold, well, the US will actually take the guarantee from you, which doesn't sound like much of a guarantee, but also the US wants to be financially compensated for the guarantee.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy stuff.
It's insane. It's just disgraceful. And we don't even know what the guarantee is. And Politico had a story yesterday saying that Rubio has told the European allies, we'll work that out later after you've signed the agreement. In other words, that you agree to an agreement without knowing what it contains. And apparently the Americans are also saying that they will address territorial integrity and the frozen assets after the deal. So it's, you know, sign on the dotted line blind, and then we'll talk about it later. That's how Trump works.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18-plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
The problem, I suppose, for anyone looking at this, if there was a time when you might have regarded the US as some sort of an honest broker, but, you know, they pull out of the Paris Accord, they destroy the Iranian nuclear deal. This is all under Trump. So he can't be trusted. End of. And he lies all the time. He is just an inveterate liar. Lies. Even on simple matters of fact, he lies. So
you got it.
Why would you ever trust this man?
Well, I hope that if the experience of the last 10 days teaches us anything, I hope it has taught the Europeans that they must stop placing hopes in Trump. They must stop believing that Trump is on their side. I mean, this is just such a blatant example, proof, really, that Trump has switched sides. How can you trust this man? And perhaps the Europeans are starting to get wise to this. It's really the Europeans and the Ukrainians on their own, and they have to realize this and they have to come through. The Europeans must come through. And if they don't, next time, Trump really will give Ukraine to the Russians.
Now, it's not just Ukraine, I suppose, given the borders to Russia that are also found among NATO countries. Many of them are fearful that the Russians will actually move on them, maybe in some way. And the Americans will say, sure, it's only a bit of Lithuania. It's only a little bit of Norway. It's only a little bit of, you know, we're not going to invoke Article 5, or we're not going to honor Article 5 by defending these. And this is, I mean, Putin is testing the waters all the time. And if NATO doesn't react, eventually he will act with impunity and do what he wants.
Absolutely. I think Estonia is probably in the greatest danger, and perhaps Moldova as well. I mean, all of these drone flights and fighter bombers, Russian fighter bombers in the airspace of NATO countries in September, he was doing exactly that. He was testing the waters. I mean, the 28-point plan gives the impression that Trump doesn't even think the U.S. is in NATO. One of the provisions is for the U.S. to mediate between NATO and Russia, as if the U.S. were already out of NATO.
Which maybe tells us something about his thinking. The problem for the Europeans, I suppose, is that if Trump, for whatever reason, maybe mental feebleness going forward, the effects of age are palpable on his presidency even now, that the alternative, J.D. Vance, is perhaps from a European perspective worse.
Yes, you remember it's Vance who back in February at the Munich Security Conference berated the Europeans for what he called infringements of free speech because they tried to limit hate speech and persecution of abortion clinics. Vance is a very bad guy. He was pushing this plan to the max from the beginning, and he's in a kind of subdued rivalry, well, not so subdued, with Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, for the presidential nomination in 2028. And Rubio actually looks like the less extreme of the two. But Vance, who said back in May, the first time that Putin said, we want all of Donetsk, the Ukrainians must give us the entire province or there's no peace. Vance at the time said, no, the Russians haven't earned it, but, i.e. they haven't conquered it on the field of battle yet. And now Vance is endorsing this very enthusiastically. So he has become even more radical on this issue. And he said during the campaign he didn't care about Ukraine at all. He doesn't care what happens to Ukraine. And he also thinks the Europeans are freeloaders, which Trump also thinks.
Is Vance not just an absolute opportunist? He will go whichever way the wind blows.
Yes.
This is the man who branded Trump as Hitler.
Yes.
This is a man who embraces Catholicism without embracing any of the fundamental moral tenets of Catholicism.
That's right.
This is a man who tells his wife he wants her to convert. This is a guy who just wants everything to be kosher for his, if you'll pardon the mixed religious metaphors, for his bid for the presidency. He needs a wife who's not Hindu.
And he seems to be making progress in the sense that he's imposed one of his chums from Yale Law School, Daniel Driscoll, who's the Secretary of the Army, has replaced Trump's original envoy to Ukraine, Keith Kellogg. And Driscoll is a hardliner. Driscoll was in Kyiv on the day that this 28-point plan came out, telling the Ukrainians, look, this is not up for negotiation. You have to sign it. And according to accounts that came out of his meetings, his conversation is laced with profanities, and he's very obnoxious and just, you know, bossing, telling the Ukrainians what they have to do. So this is Vance's representative in this whole process.
Now, the hope is that Europe can get its act together and identify the threat that Putin's Russia is at the moment, and therefore do something to solidify Ukraine's defense of its own territory against Russia. But meantime, there is politics going on as well in the United States. Not every Republican is subservient to Trump's thinking and Vance's thinking on Ukraine.
No, thank goodness. And that's probably that, along with the vociferous objections of the Europeans, are what saved Ukraine this time. Mitch McConnell, who was for a very, very long time the Speaker of the Senate and who is a very influential Republican, said that any agreement that came out of this wouldn't be worth the paper it was written on. He talked about Russian butchery. He said it was disgraceful, basically, for Trump to be fobbing this off on people. There was one senator who said that the agreement looked like it was written in Moscow. And then there's another lawmaker who said that Witkoff should be fired, that Witkoff is obviously working for the Russians and he should be fired. I mean, I often wondered as I watched this thing unfold over the last 10 days if Trump and Witkoff wouldn't end up being tried for treason because, you know, adopting, you know, defending the interest of a foreign power and a foreign power which has been the adversary of the U.S. since the Second World War in such an open, blatant way, surely that is treasonous.
I mean, the problem with the Trump administration, it wants to try respected democratic lawmakers who have served in either the intelligence service or the army with sedition while allowing Witkoff to kowtow to the Russians. It's quite extraordinary. It's an upside-down world. I'll read you some of the comments, Lara. I knew it was written in Moscow because it had joined up writing. In other words, the idiocy in Washington could not even do that. America's acting like the slacker in college who just copies someone else's coursework without ever checking it. They are not serious people. Unless we are talking about money, that's the thing they are serious about. A guarantee from Trump isn't worth the paper it's written on based on his lies and how he changes his mind. Ukraine got guarantees from several countries when it gave up its nukes. Whatever happened to those guarantees? Europe has to step up and fully fund Ukraine's battle for survival. So we're in a strange place, Lara, but can Ukraine continue the battle?
They are continuing. I'm talking to people in Ukraine every week, and my friends there are exhausted. They're discouraged, but they are determined to keep fighting. And it's if they give up fighting, then Ukraine ceases to exist as a country. So it really is an existential struggle for them.
And of course, the bitter pill they have to swallow if this deal was to go through, that all those war crimes from the early days, we remember Bucha, but many war crimes were committed since, they all have to be forgiven.
Yeah, yeah. And Russia readmitted to the G7 and Europe paying for the reconstruction of Russian-occupied territory. And I mean, it's just too awful to contemplate.
Lara Marlowe, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.